Hello, team, and welcome back to another episode of The Two Fat Brokers. I am Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
And it has been drawn to our attention once again that 80% of you who like to consume our content are not subscribed. So I must ask you to like and subscribe, even though it doesn't seem to make any difference because apparently 80% is the magic number. We always seem to have 80% of people who are not subscribed. But if you would like to be kept abreast of what we're doing, please like and subscribe. And today we are going to talk about how to spot a good property over an overhyped property.
And over an overhyped one.
Over and over and over and over and over and overhyped. I guess predominantly this is probably going to be more about off-plan, right?
No, I mean, I'm sure there are overhyped areas that are handed over.
Oh, we're talking about areas, not just properties. All right, that makes a bit more sense. When you told me this topic, I was like, okay, fine.
Stop peeking behind the curtain and breaking the fourth wall, Barney. Come on.
What's the fourth wall?
It's where you talk directly to the audience. Actually, in podcasts.
Like I just did then when I was introducing myself.
Something like that.
Okay, so I'm allowed to do it then, but not any other time?
No. Okay. So, I mean, but obviously, overhype normally comes from big marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And big marketing normally comes from big developers trying to flog their off-plan properties.
Mm.
Some developers also flog ready properties. And some areas are overhyped for no good reason. Can you think of an area that's in Dubai that you think is just overrated?
The canal.
Yeah.
Which is going to annoy some of my clients, but
you've sold canal properties too.
No, I've not. I am selling them for them. I think the canal is 5 years ahead of its time. I think in 5 years' time, it's going to be an amazing development. But right now, people are trying to hype it up. When actual fact, you know, if you want to buy somewhere and live in a community where things are easy to walk to, and that's not the canal. But in 5 years' time, it's going to be different gravy. What about you in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Actually, I mean, we've got far fewer areas than Dubai. I can't really think of an area that's massively overhyped at the moment.
What's your most recent massive launch?
Fahed Island.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, that's...
legit?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty legit. Like, it's obviously an island, beaches all around it. It's a pretty small island, so lots of beaches in comparison to the population.
Modon Jobby, that just seems to be on the wrong side of Abu Dhabi because it's far away from Dubai.
it's a little bit that side, I suppose, but it's very close to Abu Dhabi, right? It's an island alongside the island of Abu Dhabi. Not everyone knows Abu Dhabi is an island, but it is an island.
It's a lot of islands.
Well, yeah, obviously the Abu Dhabi Emirate, yeah, lots of islands. So, but again, I don't think Hudariat's overhyped, although they had a massive land plot sale. I don't know if you have these in Dubai recently. 1,700 plots of land, so you could build one villa on each plot of land. Sold out in 2 days. Brokers barely got a sniff. 1,700.
I'd have been keen on some of that. That would be amazing. How big were they?
Varied. Yeah, but starting about 600 square meters for a plot, going up to about 900, I think.
600 square meters?
Yeah. Quite big plots. Hudari Island's very low density.
How much a square foot were they?
That is a great question. I want to say about 700 dirhams a square foot for a plot.
Seems reasonable. Why didn't you buy any?
Well, it depends on the location. Doesn't it?
Well, obviously.
Well, I didn't buy, and the problem with, and we're going slightly off topic here, the problem with 1,700 land plots is that will be a building site until the end of time.
Not really. I mean, so Miras made a bit of a mistake back in Dubai when they launched Pearl Jumeirah, or Jumeirah Pearl,
mm-hmm.
And there was no time limit on which you had to complete your construction. So to this day, there are empty plots there. Whereas with places like Emirates Hills and obviously other things that Miras have launched post that, and Emaar are very good at it, they give you 2 years.
Yeah, so the same thing happens in Abu Dhabi, but if someone's not going to build, what do you do?
Start finding them.
Yeah, but the fines rack up. They don't pay them, and they rack up and rack up and rack up. And, you know, what happens?
Well, eventually, I mean, nobody buys a
eventually they sell
knowing
the plot.
That they're just not. No, you can't sell it without paying the fines.
Yeah, yeah. But eventually they find someone who'll pay the fines and pay them a premium on the plot. And then that person builds. And so you have these massive. Yeah,
you would have some examples of that happening where someone buys a plot. Okay, so again, anecdotally, well, not anecdotally, this is probably where people have learned from. Emirates Hills, an area that I do quite a lot of business in, they would not. Oh, hang on. Let me just make sure I'm getting this right. Yeah, so you couldn't sell, you used to be able to trade the plots. So you could own a plot and go, all right, I've had it for a couple of years, I'm going to sell it, or I'm going to sell it within a year and make a profit.
Yeah.
And Emaar, you know, that's not what they want. They want a completed development. So Emaar then turned around and said, right, you cannot sell these plots until you've built 70% and you've got a house with a completion certificate on it. The terms of having a completion certificate were pretty lax back then. But only at that point are you allowed to trade it. Now, what that did was a load of speculators...
By trade, you mean sell.
Okay. By that point, there was a load of speculators holding plots of land in Emirates Hills who didn't have the money to build. So yes. They were then, you know, stuck with these plots, getting fines, not being able to sell them, not being able to afford to build. You know, obviously, the global financial crisis didn't help with that at all. And even, I mean, I would say probably the last true plot in Emirates Hills only sold about 4 years ago. Just managed to get it unpicked from whatever court cases it was in with the developer. And, you know, so that's obviously what people want to avoid now. So I would imagine you probably don't have many people who've bought those plots of land in Hadaria Island without the means and the idea to build on them.
Yeah, but that's assuming there's the same rule there that Emaar put in place, but I don't think it is. And the problem is when you have that rule, you've got to tell people up front. You've got to say, listen, you need to build 70% before you can sell
this. It'll be in your SPA, won't it?
Yeah, which is why I think Emaar couldn't have just changed those rules, or they shouldn't have been able to.
I'm Emaar, yeah. I do what I want.
Yeah, so that's one way of doing it. But I mean, I don't think that was the case with these plots, but let's see. But anyway, I don't think that was, for example.
We have digressed.
That wasn't overhyped.
We have digressed.
Well, that's not an overhyped area. Hudaria, neither is Fahid. Like, I think the...
So what's struggling to sell then? Obviously, okay, the real deal. Let's rather than say how to spot an overhyped, I guess, you know, you can see what is an overhyped community by the ones that just don't sell out. So this Hudaria Island plots were not overhyped.
Hyped enough, though.
Huh?
I mean, if something's overhyped and people believe it, you know, we're assuming
was
people
it
are super
then, or is it just the truth? If people believe it, existential.
Let's say an expert, not unlike ourselves, might be able to see through the overhype, whereas a common or garden, you know, retail buyer might not be able to, and they buy something based on all of this, you know, jazz hands, and you know, there's experienced real estate agents going, well, actually, you know, I think that, you know, although that's sold out, that's probably a little bit, you know, a little bit more expensive than what you should be paying.
I mean, you guys have had some launches recently in Abu Dhabi that have, let's say, changed the face of the price per square foot norm in Abu Dhabi with the Fairmont, the Four Seasons and
Vida?
Vida.
I mean, Vida's pretty there or thereabouts for a price per square foot, around about 2,000. But yeah, the Fairmont launch, which...
10,000 a square foot?
Yes, 10,000 a square foot.
What
which is,
was the highest price per square foot? Must have been Nobu, right?
Nobu, yeah. 60,
for 5,000.
60.
60,000 dirhams a square foot?
6,000 dirhams a square foot. I'm trying to work in square meters here now, Bob.
Why?
Everyone works in square meters now.
When did that happen?
About 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you're old.
My watch has stopped, obviously. I don't remember that happening. Maybe that's an Abu Dhabi thing. That ain't a Dubai thing.
Really? Okay, developers don't talk in square meters?
No.
No.
Well, they usually have size both. Of this? Square foot, square meters.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, they should pick one. But Nobu is actually a good example of something that came out, you know, changed the market, but didn't sell out very quickly. Maybe it's sold out now. Maybe they've still got a couple of units left. But that is a good example of something that didn't, you know, an Aldar launch that didn't just, you know, get blown out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at something that is as high ticket as that, you don't expect them to sell out that quickly, right?
Yeah, that's a fair
point. It should be something that takes a little bit of time because the demographic of the people that would want it or afford to buy it, much smaller. So you need to make sure that you get in their consciousness and then sell them on the notion.
But I mean, there's also the argument that if you do sell out in one day, is it too cheap?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
Or have you just hyped it up to the sweet spot?
You should really like sell out in 6 months. That way you probably think you're maximizing your return. If you sell out in one day and everyone's like, well, we sold that in one day.
Well, no, they don't.
I'd be thinking, well, you obviously priced it too cheap.
You don't sell them in tranches though, don't you? I mean, you sell them in tranches, right? You do phase one launch, and that's usually the cheapest. Then phase two launch, slightly more expensive. Phase three. Yeah, true. And if you're big enough, you do phase four. And
so they, So in terms of hype, what's the glitziest thing you've ever seen in Dubai?
You're talking to the wrong guy, man. I sell houses to people. I don't really do off plan. I mean, Bengatti seem to be throwing some serious money at these off-plan agents. I saw on Instagram that there were a load of off-plan agents flown to London to the grand unveiling of Bengatti's new London office. Guess what car they had in the Bengatti showroom?
Lotus.
Correct. Well done. What a guess. A Bugatti in Bengatti. So, I mean, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I think also, especially with Dubai, there are so many launches. Developers are really starting to understand that they need to do something different to elevate it. I mean, it used to be, you know, someone would hire out the ballroom at the Bulgari Hotel. That was kind of the norm. And then, you know, launches get slightly more and more opulent and bigger. And now, obviously, they're selling or sending, you know, the owners of these big real estate companies to London and influencers to London to launch their new offices. So
so let's kind of ratchet it through the gears. So obviously,
what does that mean?
Well, so your basic launch, you need some good broker commission, and like, you know, reasonable launch, a fair bit of social media. Your next level is probably a bigger launch, but that's really just for brokers. If you're trying to get your name out there, influencers, getting some of your influencers to visit and, you know, bunging them a couple of quid to kind of throw it out there. And then probably your next level is like famous people, Bollywood stars, Hollywood stars, this, that, and the other.
Neymar, Ronaldo,
yes.
David Beckham.
Sports stars, yeah. And actually, we mentioned a great example the other day, branding things like the Chelsea residences. Right, branding your project after something fancy. We mentioned the Four Seasons, obviously extremely well-known luxury
the fanciest
brand.
Football team in the world, obviously, by the Chelsea, way. Chelsea Football Club, world champions. Just want to throw that out there. The greatest football team.
They've done that nicely, actually.
Yeah. Haven't they? Dimak absolutely pulled that one out of the bag.
Yeah.
Well done, incredible. The Sejuanis. Well played.
So obviously you can get that now. You can bring in your superstars, trying to think who is a
name one Chelsea any, football any, player Ben
yeah no I'm not going to be able to do that
fair enough
so Fahed Island launch had a famous American. He's not an actor, he's like a TV show host and comedian.
Oh, the black fella.
Yeah.
Oh, he's funny.
His name escapes me.
I can't remember either. With the big teeth.
Very white teeth.
Yeah.
So they had him. I've seen there's a fair few Bollywood superstars like being part of launches in Dubai.
Bollywood, I get.
Not that I can kind of name.
Bollywood, I get, because of the demographic of the people that live here, right? Mm. Hollywood?
But everyone knows.
He's not even Hollywood, though, was he?
But actually, have there been any Hollywood stars linked to developments? I haven't seen any, because he's not really Hollywood. Like, so Yas Island, for example, has had Ryan Reynolds, it's had Jason Momoa, it's had Kevin Hart, but that's to market Yas Island like the as a tourist destination. Mm. So you need that kind of global appeal. But I think, well, Abu Dhabi's looking for global appeal.
Of famos that owned property in Dubai.
Yeah.
And they were the likes of Neymar, Ronaldo. Madonna was on there?
Really?
Yeah. But a picture of some island that I'm pretty sure wasn't in Dubai. So, I mean, the argument would be, yes, some famous Hollywood people have houses here. But, I mean, other than that.
Have they been used to
market? I mean, Federer lives here, right? Federer lives in... I'm probably not allowed to say it, just in case. But
he's lived here for years, though. Remember when we first came to Dubai in 2003, we saw him in a restaurant.
We did!
Yeah.
Massive head! And that's coming from you and I. Yeah, yes. We got massive heads.
Yeah. We saw him in a restaurant in the Burj.
I do remember that.
Al Arab, not Khalifa, because Khalifa wasn't
built then. Yeah, no.
Yeah, many
good
years.
Good memory, ago. Dude. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. I think you must have been very young then.
So, once again, we have digressed.
Yeah, so if you see something like this massive glitzy kind of like, you know, show, is that a sign that it's being overhyped?
I mean, I think, look, when you look at a development, a community, anything, really you have to look at the fundamentals. And what is the key fundamental for any community? It's the location, right? Everything stems around the location. And then if they've priced it right, bang, you've got yourself a perfect development, right? And I was speaking to Lex, one of the chaps who works with me, super clever guy about the specific areas around the canal, which he's not going to like me about, but also DIFC2. And there's a project called H&H. I think it's H&H DIFC, I'm not sure. You know, and we
house
were...
House and House?
No. H&H is a master developer.
Okay.
They built things like the Four Seasons on the canal. And they've built...
Oh, the canal.
Four Seasons.
That's nice.
Satellite. Yeah, it's lovely, yeah. The canal. Lots of potential.
It's the future.
And he sat with me and he was regaling me with his knowledge, which incidentally was actually, you know, it was extensive, much more than I credited him for. And he was saying, look, DIFC2, so DIFC, you've got Sheikh Zayed Road, DIFC2 is going to be here, right? So slightly further north.
Yep.
Where do you want to be in a residential community or a residential tower? You don't want to be by Sheikh Zayed Road and not be able to get to DIFC2. The tower that H&H are building is right on the top right-hand corner of DIFC1. So it's going to be right in the middle of both. So it's the perfect location. Things like that. I mean, if you find somewhere that has the perfect location and for future growth, when DIFC2 is finally built, you know, you're going to have a residential apartment in the middle of both DIFCs. Clever.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you should not look at the glitz and glamour. You've got to pay attention to fundamentals, which makes complete sense.
Thank you.
Is there a way where you can look out for things kind of flying under the radar? Because obviously if something's got loads of glitz and glamour, loads of, you know, the whole point is in theory that they're spending all this money on marketing to get a higher price and to sell out, right? I mean, that's the theory. Like the more above market your offering is, the more you've got to spend on marketing, the more you've got to spend on brokers. Now, And so this is a really interesting. Let me finish this. Really interesting thing that happened with Jubail Island. So Jubail Island didn't pay brokers.
I don't like
pay them,
them
any
they?
Commission.
Horrible people.
They're,
but they struggled, didn't they?
They did struggle. However, their only lever was price, because they were doing a bit of marketing themselves, but they couldn't market through brokers. So their lever is price. So the price was, let's say, below market. So if you're someone who knew about Jubail Island, you could buy much cheaper than a similar project where they were, you know, shoving cash up brokers like it was going out of fashion. So is there a way where people can kind of look for those things, like, you know, who is not doing any marketing and paying brokers nothing? It could mean that they're just the worst developer in the entire world. However,
which Jubail Island
there not. there might be there might be
I smell a banning coming on.
There might be an opportunity there for get a better price.
Right, question is, how much below market would Jubail Island selling?
I mean, that's really difficult.
Was
say.
It more than 4%?
Yes, I would
right,
say
so. They've automatically put themselves in a negative economy, right?
For me and for all brokers everywhere, and actually when you're looking at the market, everyone uses brokers. So it seems like not, let's say, an extremely sensible thing to do. Although obviously they had their reasons behind it.
Yeah, what's the island, God, I hate my brain. It's just names go in and then they just fall out my ear hole.
But you got such a big head.
On the peninsula. The Amman. Ha, get in. The Amman residents, or the Amman resort, whatever you want to call it, they were not paying brokers commissions. And they were selling at between 12 and 19,000 dirhams a square foot.
Pen what? His
face. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And they've sold
what?
Out, I think, yes, yes.
That price is
ever heard of the
slowly
Amman?
Sinking in.
Ever heard of the Amman hotels?
Are they in Jordan?
I would be weird if there wasn't one there.
True.
I think they were recently acquired by a gentleman, and he is obviously leveraging. They're a very, very well-known luxurious spa kind of retreat hotel, you know, brand.
Okay.
And I believe this gentleman has bought them fairly recently and is now leveraging their name across the world. So they have launched on the peninsula, which is on the water. And yeah, they were not paying brokers any fees. I think that's changed. I haven't spoken to them in a while because for whatever reason.
Well, they're not paying you, I suppose.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I think they were getting to the stage where they were like, okay, well, maybe we'll pay you 1%. And Sotheby's had the same issues with Baccarat. Baccarat, they could not sell. Why? Because the agreement between Sotheby's and the master developer, or the, you know, yeah, the master brand owner, was that they would pay brokers 1%. And then it became 2%, and then it became 3%, and now they've sold out. So, okay, you know, if you kind of put your broad spectrum, or your what do you call it, your wide-angled lens on, everything is pointing to the fact that really developers need brokers.
Unless they're very cheap.
No, because, but even then.
No. But everything is priced times marketing.
Just to save yourself 4%. Unless you're going to be...
But you're talking about business sense. I'm not talking about business sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, suspend disbelief or whatever.
Yeah, everything is priced times marketing. So if you skimp on marketing, you know, to sell, you've got to reduce your price. If you want a high price, you've got to blow up your marketing, right? I mean, that's just...
But even then, if you're not selling something that makes sense, surely it doesn't matter how much marketing you're doing.
I mean, there's limits. It's not a straight line curve. It's not like I spend this much on marketing and I sell this much more. It's not a straight line curve. I'm sorry, it's convex or concave or, you know...
It ain't straight.
It ain't straight.
It's the opposite of straight. Wiggly.
Yeah. So the more you spend on marketing, the better price you can get and the faster you'll sell out, in theory. And if you just don't do any marketing at all and you're just relying on like word of mouth, it will get round if it's a great deal.
Mm.
And that's what Jabel was relying on, people saying, listen, this is like a great deal when you compare it to what else is out there, you know, come and buy, and people did.
Why did Jabel not use brokers?
I couldn't possibly tell you.
Did you not ask them?
No, I mean, I know. I couldn't possibly tell you why. Oh.
I went to meet with the man and I was like, so what's the deal here? So I'd taken a client. He was going to get a very good deal. And I was like, so, you know, he's got a payment. This was in front of my client. So obviously, you know, everything was transparent. So he has to pay me if he buys from you guys. And they were like, yeah, we're not paying developers. We're not paying brokers. I said, why? You will need us. He said, no, we're confident enough in our brand that buyers will just come to us, or brokers will push us but still get their clients to pay them. And I think it worked for a while. And then the hype died down of, oh, the Aman's coming to Dubai. And they were like, we haven't sold out yet. We better pay people. And then they did.
Yeah, better up their marketing. I mean, basically,
they aren't doing any marketing.
Well, I mean, paying brokers commission is basically marketing, right? I mean, I think
I think
it would be in most, you know, it would be a line item in as a marketing.
Do you want to know how much a 3-bedroom in the Oman is going for? One of my mates at the gym.
19,000 a square foot.
About 17,000. 88 million.
No, wow. Is it huge?
Yeesh. I mean, it's an economy of scale, right?
Yeah.
88 million at 17,000 dirhams a square foot. You do the maths. Like, it's not, I mean, it's going to be big enough, but
wow.
But yeah, I mean, that's probably another thing about branding, right? Probably do another podcast on that. How much is your brand worth? How much can you inflate your price? Because at the end of the day, bricks and mortar. You might have some nice shiny marble on it. You might have yourself a nice cooker tap. You might have some bolt-up kitchen. You might have all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's bricks and mortar in a location. How much is your brand worth? This is one of the things that Laura Piana just got pinged for, right? Laura Piana found...
The shoe lady?
They're textiles.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah, shoes. They found sweatshops in Italy manned by non-Italians, who were manufacturing Loro Piana goods at super like naughty rates, And Laura Piana was saying, well, it was manufactured in Italy, which technically it was, but not by Italians. And okay. So Laura Piana's markup for the brand, 400%, 500%, who knows? Same with Hermes. Probably Hermes have just been done by the same thing. A lot of the Hermes stuff is done outside of, is Hermes Italian?
Make something say made in Italy, they only have to attach something that's 5% of the product. So for instance, the label, if they put the label and sew that in Italy, they can then say the product is made in Italy. If they put a button on it and it comes into Italy, it then can be said it's made in Italy. But everything is made in China.
Well, there you go. Sorry, Scott. Scott, what's your name again, Joel? Joel. But Joel has interjected, and sorry, going back, saying that there is a value to your brand.
Of course.
Yeah. And how much is that value worth? What is Mercedes worth versus Four Seasons versus Arman versus Versace? You know, what's it all worth?
Yeah, I mean, probably you can put a price on it, but if we go back to like the Four Seasons project that's just launched in Abu Dhabi, what would that be worth without Four Seasons brand attached to it? And actually, more importantly, I wonder how much Four Seasons are getting paid to use, you know, that brand.
Well, the Four Seasons will be being paid through the service fees, because obviously Four Seasons will be
there must
supposedly
be a lump sum in there somewhere. Must be.
You reckon?
Must be, yeah.
But it's a branding right in perpetuity. Yeah, I mean, I suppose. You know, because Four Seasons is already in the UAE, presumably. But the master developer of Four Seasons in Abu Dhabi is not the same as the Four Seasons in Dubai.
Yeah, but it won't be in perpetuity, I assume. Well,
for as long as that contract is running, and you don't sign a contract.
Could be 5 years. Could be a contract like that lasts like a year after completion. You just don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so there's got to be like, for example, and you can probably see this in the DLD, it's the same. When you have a branded residence, let's say you've got the Four Seasons in Dubai, what's its real name in DLD? It's probably not the Four Seasons building, is it? It's something else. But everyone knows it as the Four Seasons.
I should be able to tell you that if I logged into my...
Yeah.
I've got it on title deeds. Hang on.
So as a good example, in Abu Dhabi, there's the Mandarin Oriental Residences, which are on Saadiyat Island, being sold by Aldar. But the actual name of the building is Fountain Views, because it's just the building is branded. It's not like built in that way. Whereas I think Louvre, if I'm not mistaken, is actually built in. I'll need to double check that.
Da, 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 da. Private residence. I know that's different. Hang on. Da, da, da. No. Good job on filling, by the way, bro. Well done.
I'm sure we could just cut out.
Just me looking like a very old man. No, the fuck? Where are they?
Where are you?
I don't know. I'll find out, but I'm pretty sure. No, I'm... No, but he sent me his title deed of this. Jamira Second. Building number one. He said, yeah, so it's called Private Residences Dubai.
Yeah.
So yeah, Four Seasons on the Creek is actually on your title deed known as Private Residences Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, I think we've probably murdered that.
Talk about a lot of stuff, but not much of that was on topic, was it? Well done.
We went around the houses, but I mean, I think maybe the thing, the takeaway is be careful of a lot of marketing spend, because you might be paying over.
Don't get blinded by the glitz and the glamour.
Yeah, fundamentals. We use that word. Fundamentals. Go back to your fundamentals.
Exactly. Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us, guys. We're sorry to have wasted the last 20 minutes of your time. I've been Barney from Dubai.
I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
We'll see you again.
Bye.